While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." What a week it has been. I don't even know what happened to Wednesday. But this week, to say the least, a lot of emotions. For some, a great deal of joy. For others, a great deal of despair, sadness, anger. I don't know if anyone could have written a better first reading for today. It's from what I call my favorite prophet, the Italian prophet, Prophet Malachi. But no, I'm just kidding. It's not Malachi. It's Malachi, and he's Jewish. I like Malachi much better. Anyway, and what does he say? Unreal. "Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and evildoers will be stumble." Yes. "And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear the Lord, there will arise the Sun of Justice with its healing rays." Isn't that awesome? The Sun of Justice. There's that word, justice. We know that word a lot, don't we? Just, it's not just us, John. It's justice. That's the problem. People think it's just us. It's justice. Okay, just saying. Okay, Rachel did a wonderful job with our psalm. The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice. You see, this is our hope. This is our promise. And this is what we believe. Today's gospel. We are in Luke's gospel. We are mindful that it is written after the destruction of the temple, okay? We don't realize that. We think like Luke is there writing it down. Jesus said the temple will be destroyed, comma, and the stones won't be left on each other, period. No, the temple is already destroyed. And so when Luke writes the gospel, he doesn't see time like we see time. And Jesus isn't predicting the future because the future already happened. The temple is, it's easy to say what Jesus said, after the temple is destroyed. You understand? I keep trying. Anyway, so the temple is already destroyed, and now Luke is going to give some theological significance to the temple being destroyed, because the temple is a metaphor for all that we hold as sacred, all that we hold as true, all that we value in our lives will be destroyed. The metaphor of the World Trade Center. When that was destroyed, how did we feel? What did we experience in our hearts and lives? Were we not devastated? What happens in your life when your marriage fails? Well, not yours, but anyway. But when your marriage fails and your marriage is destroyed, what happens in our hearts and lives when we get the doctor to say, it's cancer, it's lymphoma, it's when our world is turned upside down? We are mindful that in Luke's community, his community was turned upside down. Father against son, mother against daughter. Our children are being sent off to be killed because of their faith. They are witnessing their faith. Their world seems utterly hopeless, utterly devastating, utterly unbelievable. Some of us felt that way Wednesday morning when they woke up. It's, my God. A lot of drama. We're good at drama. But a lot of emotions and real emotions. A lot of people are filled with fear, just like in the first century, filled with fear. The world as they knew it was no longer the world as they knew it. The temple had been destroyed. Luke says, it's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. But it doesn't end there. We will have the opportunity to witness to our faith. We will give testimony to Christ in our lives. We must persevere. And so whether you voted for Hillary or whether you voted for Trump, either way, we are Catholic. As it said in the psalm, the Lord will come to rule over all the earth. Oh my gosh, no nations, no national boundaries. Over all the earth, what the heck did we say? I saw you singing it. No wall, no, over all the earth. I saw you singing. Jesus is going to come and rule over all the earth. Not the United States, not Canada, over all the earth. That's our hope. That's our promise. That's where we must persevere. So no matter who you voted for, we have our work cut out for us. Some more than others. Father James Martin in the America magazine wrote an article, and I obviously, you know, like to get all the help I can get. So I am going to read to you some of what he said, because he comes up with five things we need to do, and I added one for six. He says, as Catholics, we must be pro-voice on behalf of the poor. Is that new? Do we not hear that every week in the gospel? Luke's mission, bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, let the oppressed go, sight to the blind. Good. So we must be a voice, a pro-voice on behalf of the poor. We can pray that things work out differently than what some expect. From some of the rhetoric we've heard, it seems that the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the underemployed, the disabled, the sick will be the ones most to suffer. All the more reason for Catholics to speak up on behalf of the materially poor when it seems like their interests are being trampled. We are always to do that. We always have opportunity to do that. And now more than ever. I'm not saying that we need to believe all the rhetoric we've heard in the past 18 months, because I don't believe hardly any of it. But some of the rhetoric has implied that the poor will be trampled, which means we have the opportunity to speak out for the poor. Be pro-voice against racism. There have been incidents providing at least encouragement for racist elements in our country. In the past 18 months, the rhetoric has been there. Not saying I believe it or not. It's been there in the 18 months. It's been there as long as I've been alive. Racism is a sin, period, end of discussion. It must be opposed by Catholics at every turn. Even the hint of racism, even thinly veiled racism, must always, always be fought. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Be pro-voice against xenophobia. Again, meaningless rhetoric often demonized refugees and migrants. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have consistently been urging people to consider the needs of these migrants, not only Mexicans, but Syrians expelled from their country, and indeed everyone hoping for a better life. She's from Sweden. She was telling me earlier how you've taken in refugees, hundreds of them, and are caring for them. I commend you. I commend you. Indeed, just a few days after the election, Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles, acknowledging the fears of migrants in the wake of the election, called for greater attention to the needs of undocumented immigrants. Xenophobia, the fear of the stranger should be anathema. You know that word, anathema. Condemned, should be condemned to Catholics, because to American Catholics, we are a nation of immigrants, and we ourselves were tarred with the same foul brush of xenophobia and nativism. We should not perpetuate this hatred. From the scripture, you shall not oppress a resident alien. You know the heart of an alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. Don't tell anyone, but the Native Americans were here first. Shh. Just saying. Be pro-voice for the environment. Meaningless rhetoric has said global warming is a hoax concocted by the Chinese. It is not. It is a clear and present danger. And as Pope Francis noted in an encyclical, I think last year, called Laudato Si, that it is now part of the body of Catholic social teaching, and we are required as Catholics to care for our common home and pay attention to the ways that climate change disproportionately affects the poorest among us. Why does this happen? For the simple reason that their lives are already fragile and they cannot afford to move away from imperiled areas. Catholics are called to reverence and advocate for God's creation. Pope Francis, 2 weeks ago, wrote Beatitudes. He wrote, "Blessed are they who protect and care for our common home." We must therefore be pro-voice for our environment. 5, be pro-voice for all the marginalized. Undocumented immigrants were not the only ones who expressed fear this past week. Rather, there are those who are fearful for their livelihoods and their own lives. LGBT people, women, African Americans, and many minorities, ethnic groups, and other communities who feel marginalized now fear for their future. Those who are marginalized often feel and often are voiceless, which is all the more reason to speak out in favor of minority and marginalized groups when they feel that their communities and even lives are being threatened. These are the least of our brothers and sisters, and Jesus asks us to stand with them. I wrote number 6. Those are all Father Martin. I wrote, be a voice for healthcare. We have heard meaningless rhetoric of getting rid of the Affordable Care Act for something more cost-effective and better. Awesome. We must continue to work to make sure healthcare is better and continues to be provided for all our citizens. That just because I got high cholesterol, can't imagine why. I got high blood pressure. Can't imagine why. I got sugar issues. Can't imagine why. That I have pre-existing conditions doesn't mean that I will not be able to get my lisinopril from Publix and my metformin from Publix and my Trilipix from Publix, okay. That people who are in most need of care are the ones that can get it. Catholics have a special responsibility to work with charity to reconcile in the midst of this divisive time. They also have the responsibility to stand up clearly, loudly, and passionately for the rights of the poorest and the most marginalized among us. We as Catholics must persevere in these most divisive and most difficult times with our faith, with our belief that in the end, the sun of justice rays will shine on all the earth. We must persevere in our faith, that we may witness what an opportunity we have been given to witness our faith. Today's gospel reminds us it's not always going to be easy. In fact, quite the opposite. It's always going to be hard. When we live in a world filled with injustice, and yet, we don't do it alone. We do it with Monica. We do it with Jeff. We do it with Rita. We do it with Mary. We do it with Jamie and Keith. We do it together, for we are the body of Christ, and we will prevail. Amen.